good singing this evening. You may be seated.
To heaven, and you were there with me. We walked along the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw a young man. He was smiling as he came.
And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you came." Then another man stood before you and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave." One by one they came, as far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, that in heaven I'll proclaim.
And I know that up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and he stood before the Lord.
He said, "My child, look around you, for great is your reward." Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. I'm so glad you gave.
Amen. You'll never know what your investment down here will make for eternity, right? Sometimes if you look for results every day and you don't see, you get discouraged. But in heaven someday, what a wonderful time to see those that are saved. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for that song, Josiah and Rachel Lockwood, right? And they were married this summer, their first time back. as a husband and wife. What a blessing it is to have them here. Preach for our teenagers this morning. We kept him busy. I think he preached in the nursing home today as well. I think he's playing the piano later. And she played the piano this morning and all that. But anyway, good to have you here today. Take your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I was saying it's the first time here. They're serving at a church in Texas. They haven't been skipping church for the last 3-4 months, but they're serving at a church in Texas there. And I praise the Lord for that. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1. As you find that, would you stand to your feet as we look at the Word of God tonight? Dessert is coming, as long as you stay awake and stay with me for a few minutes, and then we'll get to it as well. No sampling. If you sneak out, the doors are locked. They have tasers that will catch you. You got 45 minutes? Okay, she gave me 45 minutes. All right. I was going to go 30, but now that you say 45, we're going longer, I guess. Lying in church. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for this night. We thank you, Lord, for moving in this service already. Lord, how it's already touched my heart. Pray that you'd speak to our heart through the Word of God. Holy Spirit, please convict the needs that we have tonight, the challenge of the message tonight, Lord, about this subject of missions again for our missions month. Lord, I pray you'd work in a great way. Speak to us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Isaiah, the Bible says that he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And he saw the seraphims, and they cried and said, Holy, holy, holy. Can you imagine that day of meeting the Lord? Seeing the Lord face to face, and he cried, and you'll hear or say, fall on your face and say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then when you see the Lord for who he is, for his holiness, you see yourself for who you are. And Isaiah said in verse number 5, he said, Woe is me, for I am undone. I said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Skipping down to verse number 8, the Bible says, Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? The Lord poses a question that I believe was directed towards Isaiah, but there was a question that was asked, and there was a response that was needed. And the Lord was speaking to Isaiah, I believe, but he said, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? See, there's a nation that needed the Lord. There's some people that needed a prophet. People that needed someone to point them back to the Lord. And when Isaiah heard the request, the question, but also the challenge, Isaiah answered by saying, Here am I, send me. What a great response to a need that the Lord poses for you and for me tonight. The need is still the same as it was back in the days of Isaiah, and it was back as it was thousands of years ago, and it is today, that this world needs people to give the gospel and to point people back to the Lord. But many times I believe that the Lord is saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? But many times I believe that there is silence. There's no response. There's a no, I'm too busy when I get done with the other things in life that I had planned. And while people wait to hear about Jesus Christ, that the Lord's question, I believe, still is, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? But I believe that there are some. There are some answering the call, Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Have you ever truly given that response, not by words, but from your heart, told the Lord, Here am I, send me? Have you truly, from your heart, said, Lord, anywhere you want to send me, I'll go. That's a scary place to be, isn't it? Right? That area of surrender that is so needed for a Christian. I preached about submission this morning in very similar tone to the message tonight about surrendering in the area of missions. But when you tell the Lord, anywhere you want to send me. Remember that time in my life where I said, God, I'll do anything you want. Not I'll do anything but fill in the blank. You know how that goes, right? And many times when you say, God, I'll do anything but this, that is generally what God is trying to tell you to do. And you're telling God, I'll do anything else but the one thing you're telling me to do. Have you ever truly given God the blank check and said, God, you fill it in and I'll go. You tell me where to go, when to go, what to do, and I'll do exactly what you want me to do. Here am I, send me. Surrender. You see this same phrase and wording in different passages from different people in the Bible. Abraham, when God went to tempt him in Genesis 22, God called to Abraham and he said, Behold, here I am. And God called Abraham to offer his son Isaac upon Mount Moriah. In Genesis 31, the Lord called to Jacob in a dream, and Jacob said, Here am I. In the book of Exodus, when Moses was called to the Lord called to Moses out of the burning bush, and he said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I. In the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul, he was Saul at the time on the road to Damascus, and God sent a man named Ananias to him, and the Lord came to Ananias in a vision, and he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. Have you ever truly told the Lord, Here I am. Here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, I know you're looking for someone. Here am I. In the book of Ezekiel, the Bible says that the Lord sought for a man to stand in the gap to make up the hedge. But sadly, he said, but I found none. How many times is God looking and is God calling and is God sending us, but we say, no, I'm too busy. When I get done with all the things that I have to do, I'll get around to what you have for me, Lord. Have you ever truly said, Lord, I'll go anywhere. Send me. Truly surrender to the Lord. I know that it's a scary place because it's our lives in God's hands. But if you're going to put your life in anyone's hands, wouldn't it be best to be in the Lord's hands? Isn't it sad how sometimes we think that we can make a better life than God can? You know, but if I serve the Lord, then I'm not going to have any money. I'm going to live in a shack. I'm going to eat crickets, right? Hopefully at least they're chocolate-covered deep-fried crickets, right? I'm not going to have anything. And many times we think, if I surrender to do God's will, I'm going to be miserable. Can I tell you this? That is so far the opposite. There is no better place to be than in the center of God's will for your life. I can take you back to a number of times in my life where I truly surrendered to God's will. Remember to the time where I surrendered to God to preach the gospel. I was a junior high boy. I'd only been saved for a couple of years. I can remember kneeling at the altar many times and said, God, I'll do anything but preach. God, I'll do anything but preach. And I was as shy, as backward as any kid would be. You called my name in class for roll and I'd blush. And I was terrified of that. I'd get nervous just thinking about that. And I remember going to the altar and it was either pink or red carpet. And that was the color back then. I remember going there and said, Lord, I'll do anything but preach. And then I remember that time I said, God, I'll do anything. With nothing at the end of that. God, I'll do anything. There's a number of times where God spoke to my heart in the area of who to marry in my life. I remember as a young man and thinking, God, whoever, whenever you bring in my way, I'm surrendered to your will. And the Lord almost immediately brought my wife and I together after that time. But God needed me to be surrendered to his will first. I remember God working on my heart in the area of pastoring, and I said, Lord, I'll do anything but pastor, right? I lost that battle, if you didn't notice that. And I prayed, and I don't believe I was trying to fight the Lord on it, but I said, God, if that's what you want me to do, I want to know that it's what you want me to do. I don't want to be because of what anyone else wants me to do. I need to know, God, that that's what you've called me to do. I can remember the night at camp that the Lord spoke to my heart, that God said, Behold, I've set before you an open door, but there are many adverse. I remember that night, I bowed my head and said, God, I'll do anything. And I believe that night, God called me and directed my heart in the area of pastoring. Have you ever truly surrendered to God in your life? You know this, the area of submission, surrender, is not a one-time deal in your life. God, one time I surrendered. Salvation, that is one time. Once for all, born into the family of God, God will never take that away. But the area of surrender, of giving your life to God. I've known many young people over the years said Brother Mark, it was Brother Mark for many years. I know that tripped up many of you and difficult to change that. But I said, Brother Mark, I know what God's called me to do. And how many of those have changed from what God had called them to do. I didn't call them or tell them what to do, but they changed on that. There's also many that are doing God's will for their life as well. Praise the Lord for that. Are you surrendered to anything that God has for you? This month is our missions month, and I want to challenge you again about this area of missions. I believe that God is calling more than our surrendering to the area of missions. God must be calling more. I want to give you some statistics about the area of missions. I believe that sometimes numbers and statistics can help us to see the need of the world. How many people have heard the gospel? It's estimated that 3.4 billion people have never heard the gospel of Jesus. Think about that. That's almost half of the population today that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's almost half of the world's population. How many missionaries are there in the world? There's an estimated 430,000 missionaries currently serving full-time on the mission field. In the study that discovered this number, they defined a missionary as someone serving over 2 years as a self-described Christian missionary, which includes, and we're not the same stripe, of course, Catholics, Protestants, and other denominations, 430,000, and a vast majority of those do not preach the gospel at all. And that number is down sharply from in 2001. The number was 1,135,000 missionaries, two-thirds less of the missionaries that were on the mission field 25 years ago. Do you realize that? 1.1 million missionaries on the mission field in 2001, and today there's 430,000 missionaries. That includes Catholics, Protestants, and other denominations there as well. Do you see that there's a need in the world today? Where are missionaries going? More than 40% of the world has not been evangelized, yet about 97% of the current global total of missionaries are sent to people that already have access to the gospel. I'm not against sending the gospel to somewhere that already has the gospel. They already have churches and the Word of God in their language. But 90% of missionaries are going where there's already the gospel preached. And yet 40% has not been evangelized at all. The majority of unreached people live in the 1040 window. It's the region in North Africa to East Asia. It's home to the largest concentration of people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus. It's estimated 96.6% of those who have never heard the gospel live in this region. Think about that. Of the 3.4 billion people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, 96.6% of those live in the 1040 window in North Africa and East Asia. Do you see that there's a need in the world to get the gospel out? Nearly 50% of missionaries serve 5 years or less on the mission field. We're not sending missionaries as we used to. The U.S. still sends more missionaries than any other country, but per capita, we do not send the most missionaries in the world. The Apostle Paul was sent to the Gentile people. They were completely unreached with the gospel. You see that in the book of Acts, where the gospel was sent from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And God saved a Jewish man, Saul, who became Paul. He went to preach the gospel to the rest of the world that had never heard about Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul traveled over 10,000 miles by sea and by land without modern technology. Started at least 14 churches, partnered with around 100 different people in the ministry. And there's no telling how many people that the Apostle Paul was able to see saved in his earthly, in his ministry while on earth. But yet we are affected by the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel to the Gentile people even still today. We have all been affected by worldwide missions. But yet how many people have no Bible, have no gospel, that have never heard the story of Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross to pay for their sins is just as much as ours. We are so privileged, and let me say, church, we are so spoiled in America today that many would not even take the chance to fathom leaving the comforts of America to go to another country to give up some comforts that they have to tell someone how to stay out of hell for all eternity and have a home in heaven. How sad that is, how selfish that is, and how lazy that is that we won't get off our backsides and tell someone about Jesus Christ. And that goes right here in Redding, California, just as much as it does somewhere around the world as well. People need to hear about Jesus right here where we are. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I believe that God is calling and saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? But many times the other side of the phone is silent. I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. What does I'll pray about it mean as a Christian, right? That means no, right? That's what I'll pray about it. I know we're supposed to actually pray about it. Yes, we are. But the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. A missionary to Africa told the story of an elderly woman who was reached with the gospel. Though she was blind and could neither read nor write, she wanted to share her newfound faith with others. She went to the missionary and asked for a copy of the Bible in French. When she got it, she asked the missionary to underline John 3:16 in her Bible in red and mark the page so she could find it. The missionary wanted to see what she would do, so one day he followed her. In the afternoon, just before school let out, she made her way to the front door, and as the boys came out of school, she would stop one and ask if he knew how to read French. And he said yes, and she would ask him to read the verse that was marked in red. Then she would ask, do you know what this means? And she would tell them about Jesus Christ. The missionary said that 24 of the school boys that lady led to the Lord became pastors. She could neither read, nor write, nor see. George Scott, he was a one-legged school teacher from Scotland. He volunteered for missionary service in China. When asked why he was with one leg, thought about going to China. He said, I do not see those with two legs going, so I must. This began his more than 24 years of missionary work in China. All around the world. You could spin the globe and you could put your finger down and there's people that need the gospel everywhere that you go, everywhere that you point. Every street corner, every restaurant, every person that you work with, that people that you live by, people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The need is great. Do we understand that tonight, church? The need is great. I'm not saying everyone is going to go to be a missionary. But we must be willing to go. We must be willing to go. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I want to give you a few points tonight and a challenge tonight. I pray and hope that you take it to heart. And this missions month is more than, again, just a theme and flags and some speakers and some videos. I'll pray that it touches our heart to do more in the area of missions. Preached the last couple weeks about praying for missions. We need to do more than a token prayer. We need to pray for our missionaries. Get the missionary prayer letters. Pray for them by name. Pray for God's protection and blessing on their lives. We must not only pray, but we must give as well. Many missionaries are hindered from going to the mission field for years because they're waiting to get support from churches. We can only support so many. We have missionaries that email us and call us weekly looking to be supported to go and preach the gospel somewhere. It takes them years to get to the mission field. And much more time after that to learn the language, the culture, and to try to start a church and get the gospel going there. But tonight, the challenge tonight is about surrendering to missions. Christian, tonight, are you personally surrendered to missions? Not the person sitting next to you. Are you surrendered to missions? Now understand this, that missions work is right here where we are and around the world. The Lord said you must be witnesses both in Jerusalem, where you are, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. It starts where you are and it goes out from there. God has called everyone to be a soul winner or a missionary right exactly where you are. But also we must be willing to go. Are you willing if God called you to go? If God said, I want you to go, what would your answer be? Honestly, if tonight God said, I want you to go to pack up your family, I want you to go. Our missionary next week, he'll give you his testimony. But he had a very, very good job and a very good promotion awaiting him. He turned it down to go to the mission field, to live in a third world country, to tell people about Jesus Christ, to a closed country that we cannot put it online. So you'll have to be here to hear and see the video and some of the details of that. Are you willing to go if God calls you tonight? Maybe God has called you already, but you put it off. Number one, we must be willing to go. To surrender to missions, you must be willing to go. As the Lord called to Isaiah, he said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah spoke up and said, here am I, send me. When you look for volunteers, many times you don't find a lot of volunteers. When the boss comes and, "I need a volunteer, who can help me? I've got a job for you to do." Didn't even tell him the task yet. "I need someone to go." Isaiah didn't know what the task was yet. Said, "I need somebody." How many raise your hand? "I'll go. I'll do it." But the Lord that saved us, amen? The Lord that sent a soul winner to knock on our door, to send someone to start a church, to preach the gospel, that came to my life, said, "I need someone else to go." And we say, "Oh, I don't know, maybe somebody else." We must be willing to go. Number one, you must be willing to go. You must be willing to listen to God's call. Listen to God's call. Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading that if God spoke to your heart, you would know that it was God speaking to you and you'd be listening to God? Sensitive to God's leading that when God speaks to you, that you're willing and ready to listen to that still small voice. Many times we think, "Well, God, I'm waiting for the letter in the mail and the bright neon sign, and I want you to, you know, hit me in the face with your call." Many times it's that still small voice that God puts in your heart, and God won't let it go. You know what I'm talking about, right? When God won't let it go, and God won't let it go, and God won't let it go. Are you listening, or are you quenching the Spirit and saying, "God, no, not right now. I'm busy. I've got things figured out. I've got my life figured out. But I have a plan for your life." Are you willing to listen? Many times we ignore the call. You know, you get that, like someone goes to call, you can send them to voicemail or have the automatic text that goes back to them. Are you listening to God's call on your life? You must be willing to say yes to the Lord. I think we know this. If I listen to God's call, I'm going to have to respond. So I better not even listen to begin with. And I'm giving you my personal testimony, okay? How many times God has called me in my life and I said, "God, not no, not right now, not them. I'm doing something already." And we try to push the Lord off. You ever done that before? Push Him off. It's somebody else. It's not me. But our answer should be yes, shouldn't it? "Here am I. Send me." You must be willing to say yes, and you must be willing to go. When you say yes, when you make a vow, you make a promise to God. The Bible says when you make a vow, it's a solemn promise to the Lord. And the Bible says defer not to pay it. When you promise God, that's a solemn promise that you made between you and the Lord. That's a promise that you must keep. You must keep that. When you promise the Lord, you've said yes, "Lord, I'll go." You've answered God's call. Don't go back on the Lord's call in your life. Understand this, that doing God's will is active, not passive. Doing God's will is active, not passive. We have too many passive Christians today. Too many passive. Sit back and wait for someone to come talk to me about my faith and ask me how to be saved. And I'm waiting instead of going. I think about Abraham's servant. He said, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." And when you get busy for God, it's amazing how God uses those that are doing something for Him. You must be willing to go. It's active, doing the will of God. Remember this, Christian, that God's will is always best. God's will is always best. You say, "But if I say yes to God, I don't know where God's going to send me." That's okay, because God's will is always best. The best place to be in all of the world is in the center of God's will for your life. You don't answer to me and I don't answer to you for God's will. You answer to God. What is God's will? Are you in the center of God's will for your life? That's the best place to be. That's the best place to be. Children, adults, senior saints, the best place to be in the center of God's will. Do you know that's where you are tonight? You must be willing to go. Then number two, to surrender to missions, you must have faith and you must have courage. You must have faith and you must have courage. For many of our missionaries, they sell their house, they live out of a trailer, they pack up their things in a storage unit, they visited a country a couple of times and visited a missionary and they scouted an area and said, "Lord, I'm going to go and I'm going to have faith that you're going to take care of me." That's an incredible faith. That's an incredible faith to go to another, you don't know the language, you don't know people there, you're working to get finances to go, to take your family there and say, "God, I'll go." That takes a great amount of faith. But I'm thankful that we have a faithful God. Amen? We have a faithful God that God's not going to leave you destitute. He's not going to forget about you and say, "Well, good luck out there by yourself." God will take care of you. Do you believe that, Christian? God will take care of you. Living by faith. Too many times we think, well, how is it going to work out, God? What about stepping out by faith? When God's called and you go and say, God, I'm going, but you're going to have to come through. It's sink or swim, and Lord, I put my faith in you. God will not let you down when you follow through by faith. Having faith, having courage to do God's will. See, serving the Lord in the ministry, it takes faith and it takes sacrifice. Many people don't want the sacrifice that comes along with serving God. It does take sacrifice, but understand this, everything in life takes a sacrifice, doesn't it? Everything takes sacrifice. You're going to give up something, but I'd rather sacrifice my wants, my desires to do the will of God, again, because God's way is always best. But I believe that serving the Lord in the area of missions, it takes an extra amount of courage and faith. And I'm not trying to discourage you with that, but I believe it's just the reality of the fact of stepping out by faith, leaving your country, your family, the comforts of your home, learning a culture, a language, and establishing a church and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must have faith to do the will of God. But I'm thankful that as the Lord has taught me in my life, the more that I step out by faith, the Lord builds my faith. And the more that I step out by faith, the more that God builds my faith again. And the more that I step out by faith, I believe that God's going to come through again and again and again. You must be willing to go. You must be willing to have courage and faith in the Lord. Number three, you must be serving the Lord right now. If you're going to serve the Lord with missions in your life, some of our young people have surrendered to the area of missions or believe that maybe God directed them in that way in their life. I'm not trying to force or trick anyone into a decision. Say, you're stuck with it. Ha ha, now you got to go. But you must be serving the Lord here. How could you serve the Lord on the other side of the world if you're not serving the Lord right here at Shasta Baptist Church? Right? There's no easier place. We think of persecution in America. We don't know persecution like the rest of the world knows it. We don't. For the most part, someone says no, maybe says a bad word to you and closes the door. That's most of the persecution that we face in our country. Many do have more than that. I'm not trying to lighten the fact that there is real persecution in our country. But if you're gonna not be able to serve the Lord here, then how are you gonna serve the Lord on the mission field then? Serve the Lord here. Be a soul winner here. There's souls all around us. People walking up and down our streets at all hours of the day and night. People you work with, live in a neighborhood with, and go to school with. All the different areas that God has put in your path. We must be serving the Lord right here. If I can't lead a soul to Christ right here in America, how am I going to go to another area in the world and lead a soul to Christ over there? Must be faithful serving the Lord right here. Get involved in ministries. The church, God always sends someone out of a local New Testament church. Why? Because it's a church that has trained and prepared someone that for the ministry, and they said they're serving God here, now we're sending them out to do it somewhere else. We're not sending them out and saying, good luck, they don't know anything, and I hope they make it. But get involved here. Get involved in ministries. Look for places to serve. Look to get involved. Ask to get involved in areas. Serve the Lord here. Parents, teach your children how to serve. Teach your children how to serve. Don't send them to church, take them to church. Amen? Don't send them soul winning, take them soul winning. Don't tell them what to do, show them. Don't tell them how to walk with God, show them how to walk with God. Parents, you're going to encourage or discourage your children about serving the Lord with their lives. Your children are going to do many times what you've encouraged them to do in some way in that direction. Not always that case. May not always be that way, but teach your children how to serve. Encourage your children about the area of missions. I'll get to that here in a bit as well. Encourage them in the area of missions. We've not told our kids what they're going to do with their lives, but we pray that they do whatever God's will is for their life, and they'd surrender to that. Never once have I said, you said you're going to do it. But I pray with all my heart that as a father, that my kids serve the Lord wherever God has, and they serve the Lord with their life. Isn't that what you want for your children, parents? Amen. Encourage them. You know what? If you go to church kicking and screaming and fighting and miserable and all that, there's no real faith. Why would they want that with their lives? Encourage them. Going to church is great. Amen? Serving the Lord is wonderful. Telling people about Jesus Christ is the best thing in all the world. And show your kids that this is what you want with your life. This is what you want to do. You want to serve God with your life. Not everyone's going to be in the full-time ministry, but everyone should be a full-time Christian. Everyone's a full-time Christian. You know, whether or not you're paid to do it or not, that's aside from the point. We all are full-time Christians because we're saved all the time, so we're full-time Christian. Praise the Lord. You must be serving the Lord here. If you're going to surrender to missions, start serving the Lord here and preparing right now to serve the Lord in your future as well. And then number four is this. You must start preparing now. Start preparing now. Maybe God has put on your heart, say, maybe God would call me to the area of missions. Say, I'd be willing to go. Maybe God's not called you yet, but if God calls me, I would say yes. If God calls me, I would go. Are you preparing now for your future? I think one of the greatest disservices we can do to our children is to not prepare them to be a successful and spiritual adult. Right? Kids today are not the kids from 30, 50, 100 years ago. You understand that, right? They're not prepared today. Most kids sit around playing video games and on electronics. I believe it is around 12 hours each and every day. And we wonder why they don't want to get jobs and go to college and have a family and serve the Lord with their life. We're not preparing them for the future. Start preparing yourself now for the future, your children as well. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but get around missionaries. When our missionaries come, get around our missionaries. And more than just play the games in their booths, but those are fun as well. Everyone's enjoying playing the games for missionaries this month. Get around our missionaries. Ask them questions about where they are. Ask how where they're serving and who they've reached with the gospel and how their church is doing. And get around our missionaries. Again, I'm hitting back at the point as well again, but parents, get your children around our missionaries. Say, go talk to them. Go ask them a question. Get them to sign your Bibles. Go spend time around them. I believe our missionaries are our heroes of the faith in many ways. And get them around other missionaries. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago as well, but go on a missions trip. Many times people take lavish vacations. I'm not against a vacation. Take vacations. That's good for your family. Unplug and get away. Make some good memories. But you could also make good memories on the mission field as a family as well. You could take that same amount of money, I'm not promoting it, but from going to Disneyland, where I forget what the ticket prices are today that are astronomical, and what you'd spend thousands of dollars there, and you could go to visit a missionary. And you may not stay in a five-star hotel and eat at a five-star restaurant, but you get to see what missions is all about. If you're truly interested in that, we could try to contact our missionaries and see if there's someone you could go to visit and take your family or your spouse and go and visit the mission field and get more of a heart for missions and to see the frontline work on the mission field. Get around missionaries. Go on a missions trip. Read missionary biographies. There's so many incredible missionary stories from the past that many people aren't reading. Many people don't know about the past Christians reading their biographies or autobiographies. Reading about missionaries like David Brainerd to the Native American Indians. Reading biographies like Adoniram Judson to Burma. Like Hudson Taylor to China. Jim Elliot to the Aka Indians in Ecuador. David Livingston in Africa, the explorer and missionary. Get a missionary book in your children's hands and get them to read about those that have given their lives and many of those that died on the mission field, gave their life to reach souls for Christ. Read about our missionaries, those that gave their life to the Lord. Our school bulletin board, I don't know who was in charge of it, and that's fine. It's great, by the way, not bad. But I was looking at it the other day, and it gives, I think it was something about math with missions. I forget the slogan that was used for that. But if one person, you could see it when you go next door for the fellowship, sneak into the hallway. If one person every year reaches one person with the gospel, and then those two the next year reach another person with the gospel, and then the next year those ones reach another with the gospel, then the two becomes four, and four becomes eight, and eight becomes 16, and 32, and 64, and I'm not going to keep counting and try to do that all mentally. In approximately 32 years, the whole world would be saved if you led one person to the Lord every year. And then that person, you trained and taught them that it's their responsibility to preach the gospel to every creature. And then those two went and reached another with the gospel. But again, we must be doing it here. We must be doing it here, reaching those with the gospel, right here where we are. We must give the gospel where we are. We must be willing to go to the mission field. We must be willing to give and to pray to missions. I said it before and I'll say it again. I'm not trying to hurt you, church, but I'm honestly and fervently meaning this from my heart. But silent, lazy Christianity is sending the world to hell. Being silent and not sharing the gospel, not giving a gospel tract and asking someone if they died today, do you know for sure when you'll spend eternity, would it be heaven or hell, or don't you know that? When's the last time you asked someone that question? You say, but I don't know what they would say. We were out soul winning yesterday and we could hear the protest from people wasting their time down the street and honking their horns and stuff, protesting the No Kings people out there. By the way, not one of them would take a track when they came back to their cars. We could hear them around the way over there. And we tried to tell them about the Lord and give them a track. And one man that came by, I went to give him a track. He said, no, thank you. He said, no, thank you. He said, I'm Buddhist. And he's Buddhist. And I thought, he's a 60-something-year-old man, maybe 70-year-old man. I said, you're Buddhist, a Caucasian. You don't see that very often. I said, if you don't mind, how did you become Buddhist? You don't hear about that with someone that's raised in America. You say, well, he said, I was raised, I believe it was Catholic. And then he said, from there, I went to atheism. And for 10 years, I believed in no God. And then from there, he went back to meditating and different things and got involved in Buddhism. And I said, well, do you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven? And he's like, well, you know, I have some different beliefs. And he was kind in different things. And I said, and I gave him a gospel tract and told him where the church was, invited him to come. And he said, that's okay. And he gave it back to me. And he said, but I have Christian friends. And he said, and they're praying for me. And if I change my mind, he said, I don't believe I will. He said, but if I change my mind, I know who I need to go to. And I thought, thank the Lord for some Christian friends that are trying to tell him about the Lord and tell him how to be saved. But the man will die without Christ. And that's a Buddhist man walking down the streets in Redding, California. That's all around us, Christians. We must not be silent. They don't have any problem, you know, honking their horns and their fog horns and yelling and hooting and hollering on the street corners. But many times as Christians, we stay quiet and think, well, I don't want to bother anyone. I don't want to offend anyone because what will they say? Well, what will they say in hell someday when they say, you were my neighbor? You were my coworker. You walked by me. You knocked on my door, but you never actually gave the gospel. And how will, I believe, bow our heads in shame and say, no, I didn't. And their blood will be upon our hands. We must warn. We must witness. We must pray. The area of missions is not a need someday, but the need is today. 2/3 less missionaries today than there was 25 years ago. Where are we going to be in 25 years? Where's the world going to be in 25 years? It's not going to be changed through politics. It's not going to be changed through education. It's going to be changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christians, today, we must get serious about missions right here where we are and around the world. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. With head bowed and eyes closed. Lord, this need is great. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We must be doing more for the gospel. We must be telling others about Jesus Christ. We must be praying and fervently witnessing and praying for the Holy Spirit's power as we go out to do more to tell people about Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for some in this room. I pray that we all were challenged in the area of telling a soul about Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone in the room tonight that would say, Pastor Becker, if I die tonight, I do not know where I'd spend my eternity. I do not know if I go to heaven or hell. I don't know. Would you raise your hand? No one's looking around. I don't want to embarrass you. Say, I don't know where I'd spend my eternity, but I'd like to know that. Would you slip your hand up and then put it down? I don't know that I'm saved, but I'd like to know that. Please don't die and go to hell from Shasta Baptist Church in Redding, California. Please don't do that. Maybe there's one in the room tonight that would say, the Lord put on my heart someone that I need to tell about the gospel, someone that I need to pray for. Maybe someone by name or someone that might be nameless, but God has challenged my heart about telling someone about Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand? Say, God spoke to my heart about doing more for missions right here where I am. Maybe there'd be some in this room tonight that would say, God has challenged and worked in my heart. Maybe it's in the past. Maybe I've already surrendered my life to missions. Maybe it's for the first time that God has worked on my heart about giving my life to serve the Lord on the mission field. Would you raise your hand? Say, God has spoken to my heart either in the past or currently to serve the Lord on the mission field. Would you raise your hand that God would speak to your heart? With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? Lord, I pray that your work would be done. I pray that you'd work on hearts and lives, that we'd surrender to do your work. Lord, I in no way want to push someone to doing the will of God or to force them into a certain area in their life of serving you. I don't mean to do that at all. But Lord, I do pray that you'd challenge us about the area of being a soul winner, but even more specifically about giving our lives in the area of missions. I pray that we'd be willing and we'd say, here am I, send me. As the leaves begin to play the instruments, would you come and spend time with the Lord?